looks like a Wolverine comic, smells like a Wolverine comic, is a Moira McTaggart comic.
Dun, dun, dun. Welcome to the Ex-Wife Podcast. I'm Alicia.
And I'm Justin Bub.
Today we're talking about deaths. 10 deaths? X-deaths.
X-deaths.
X-deaths of Wolverine.
And who is that, just like an undetermined number of deaths? I don't know.
We don't know what it means. We got no clarification.
No. We got a lot of questions.
So many questions.
We got a lot of other comics that came out this week, but we're not talking about them right now.
Not for this episode.
This is X-Deaths number one.
Number one. Numero uno.
Do we just jump in?
Yeah, we do. Let's talk about that cover.
All phalanxed up.
It's very exciting. Yeah. Very interesting looking.
Really cool cover. Makes you think about where it could go, who or what is going on with this cover guy.
This guy is Wolverine.
Yeah, but it's not like the Wolverine we know and love.
There's one of a Wolverine of many timelines and multiple universes, and it's a Wolverine. So, page turn noise. Yeah. Snicked.
Run, Moira, run.
Oh, God. This whole setup, is this supposed to make me feel bad for Moira?
I think so.
Supposed to be on Moira's side?
Feel some kind of sympathy or connection to the woman for what she's going through?
I don't.
You don't? I mean, neither do I. She's a villain. You know, let's just call it like it is. And she's not like a fun villain. Like they sit on our council or they drink at the bar.
She's a villain.
Yeah, she's like an Orcus villain.
Yeah.
But picking up immediately after Inferno 4, which is all kinds of cool.
Yes.
These were the preview pages I had seen last Thursday. And I do want to call out these first two pages and their visual designs, the cross sections and the split screen on that turn. They're so inventive and they're so striking.
Yes.
This just being Moira's full body image, but with slices into it as to the gate on the other side.
Yeah, the layout is really cool, and it definitely gives you that. We're doing a little flashback. These are the key points, moments, but it's happening quickly.
Right. Flashback, but also picking up right from this point and just going with it.
And Moira, she's getting all hot and bothered over here about how Charles and Eric said they would protect her, and they lied. Well, guess what, Moira?
You lied, too. You're a dirty liar, and you have no right to be angry right now.
You are secretly trying to find a cure for mutation.
Yeah, so you're not trying. You have it.
Get out of here with your
replicated
anger about being lied to.
Yeah, nobody's crying. Nobody's crying for you, Moira. We're done at cry for you, lassie. I love this. Like Mystique on one side shouting, run out the gate in Scotland. Home where my story began. And talk about your downgrades of crimes, right? From plotting genetic erasure to carjacking, this poor guy.
Destruction of property.
Right, this poor guy. I mean, like, you talking about the gate?
Yeah.
Yeah, property. Do you really own Krakoa?
Nobody owns Krakoa.
Yeah.
But Krakoa.
You've injured the man, the island.
Yeah, it's kind of unnecessary, too, the aggression that she takes towards this particular man.
Right. You're just like, hey, can I borrow your car, I guess?
To destroy this, can I borrow your car so I can crash it into something?
I think that's really smart, though. Taking down the gate so that they can't follow right after. I think
right,
that's
the
brilliant.
The immediate gate.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is smart. And I understand, like, realistically, I understand the pressure cooker situation that she's in where she's like, I need to destroy this gate immediately.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for this guy.
Yeah, and right.
Not only am I going to steal your vehicle to destroy the gate and also steal all of your sheep.
This is livelihood. Like,
but
this
I'm
is
going
likely
to leave you on the side of the road in the rain. Bye.
Bye.
I do really love the change in the tone of the colors when we leave Krakoa and then we get to the rainy, dreary Scotland and just the darker, dreary vibe that it gives us.
Yeah, the blue wash over everything. It is really cool.
Title page, Time to Die.
X Deaths of Wolverine number 1, written by Benjamin Percy, art by Federico Vincentini, colors by Dijo Lima and Frank Martin, letters by Corey Pettit.
VC's Corey Pettit.
Much less tiny type to dive into on this one. Just the one blank and redacted image, which I think we know who it might be by the end.
I think so too. And I remember reading this page and going, isn't this a Wolverine comic? And
where's Wolverine?
Moira, Mystique, Black Tom, and a mystery box.
Right. I mean, so the mystery box, I'm assuming, is our cover friend.
No, I think the mystery box is the other character who pops up.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, okay.
In terms of like weight to the story, I think it's our Technogon.
I hate that.
Our
Technogon.
Our Wolveralinx.
How many of those do you have?
5.
Okay, let's get them. 5. I was just not expecting that.
Falverine. That's probably the worst.
There's 2 more, folks.
Falogan.
Falogan.
And James Fowlett. I was having a lot of fun with that yesterday. Joking aside, he's been referred to as Omega Wolverine.
Can we just call him Warlock? Like Warlock, but Wolverine? Warvaline? I don't know. Yeah. I'm just trying to get in on the game, but you took all the good ones because you came up with 5.
Okay.
So.
I just got so mad. Technogon was probably my first out the gate.
Technogon.
I just feel like that rolls. Technology, like techno-organic, Technogon.
Technogon. Nope, Technogon is better. Yeah. All right, whatever. Anyway, moving on. It's the title page. Let's dive in. We could be here for hours.
The Kinross Estate. We're back with Moira. I do, if you think about it, and I'm not feeling for her emotionally, but these meditations on the end are really interesting if you think about how this is affecting her, right? This nearly immortal mutant who has lived for 1,000 years and is now close to facing death, or at least the closest she's ever actually been since her first life.
Right. It's actually something that could happen to her.
Right.
And here's my question. So she hasn't been here in how long?
We don't know.
How long has it been that there are trees growing in her bedroom?
Yeah. I mean, it's at the very least since she quote unquote died back in the early 2000s.
Mm.
When her death was faked by a Shi'ar golem.
Okay, then. So maybe 20 years. 20-ish years. Well, we don't know.
Continuity time.
That's what is time?
That's like a year and a half.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, she's coughing up blood.
Yeah. Moira's angry. She's got that hot rage. Fistful of blood. A lot going on. And we don't really know why.
No.
We get a little bit more information later on, but...
More questions with that information. Which
I'm not upset about. I feel like that was a lot of the energy coming out of the first 10 lives was, all right, it's familiar, but a lot of unsureness going on.
Well, that's what you want, right? You want questions that you hopefully get answered throughout the 10 weeks.
Right.
You don't want everything given to you right up front, and you also want intrigue to continue on.
I'm intrigued. I love this data page.
Destiny's data page is awesome.
Story about death, interesting and poetic. Fate comes for us all.
And let's also just talk about how the character in the story, who let's call him Jonathan, happens to meet up with Death after and is like, hey, you gave Edward kind of a scare. Like, Jonathan, why do you know Death? You are friends. You're this guy's boss. You're friends with Death.
He doesn't fear it. You know, Edward
fears it.
Right? And I think that's the different ways that you can greet your fate.
Mm-hmm. And I love the tie-in to... just the idea of like, what is fate exactly? Because this guy chose to go to New Orleans because he thought that would be his chance to escape death.
Right.
But that was destined to happen all along.
We've got an appointment set for tomorrow, guy. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
My favorite spot, Green Lagoon. Here we are.
Green Lagoon.
Gang's all here. Days later, which I missed previously the first time I read. But helps make that distinction between Moira escaping her no place and Xavier and Magneto being resurrected.
Mm.
You got to think about the timeline of where, because I think at this point, Logan is on his time adventure.
I think you are correct.
Yeah.
Based on things that happen later in this book.
Right.
Black Tom is not okay.
No, no. Well, is it just Black Tom? Is this just happening in his mind, or is this happening everywhere?
Everywhere.
It looks like it's everywhere. It's some kind of earthquake, and he's freaking out.
He feels it before anyone else.
Well, he's got that deep connection, right? He's got that
deep, deep that bond.
Right. Black Tom's connection with Krakoa, just another thread having been built in X-Force, which I was calling out positively last week, and I'm actually excited to see even more of it here and more a little bit later. It's just bringing together everything that we know about these two titles and these characters and adding another couple of layers.
It's giving you those sweet, sweet answers you've always desired.
Always.
Well, there's a giant egg thing.
Something popping up.
Popping up.
And speaking of the bubbling on that last panel that we see, it makes me wonder if this has anything to do with the tumor-looking object that we've seen before in the water that hasn't really been explained but is from X-Force.
Yes.
Kind of hanging out at the bottom of Krakoa, which we don't really get many answers about this thing and about what it's causing and how it's created.
Oh, no. This issue is just a whole big, let me serve you up some
intrigue questions.
Intrigue and then just run away.
Great motion of the rocks in the environment, though.
Yes, and I love this eerie green vibe that it has. It feels like acidy and alien and gross.
Not of this world, like not natural to Krakoa.
Not of this world.
Hanging out at the hospital.
Now Moira's in New York.
Yeah. She ran all the way to New York from Scotland. I mean, it's been a few days.
It's been a few days.
You know who this is? When you were reading it, so I will update everybody. I was able to be here to listen and watch and stifle my reactions to your reactions. But do you know who this is?
No.
Dr. Foster?
Is this one of the people who helped her create the cure?
Jane Foster.
Like from Thor?
Yeah. Who becomes Thor
mm-hmm.
at one point in the comics.
Yes.
And then is now Valkyrie.
Oh.
So that's who that person is on the next page.
Oh.
I love not telling you things and waiting the hours later for the episode because you're like, wait, who is this lady?
I was like, I mean, I thought it could be her just by the setup and the like, how the heck did Valkyrie know this was going on situation. So you're saying you don't think Valkyrie is the blacked out person?
Not at this time, no. I think
title page.
I just think that it, based on the amount of panel time and the amount of seeming importance to the story, that it's Falvarine, Technogen, James Fowlett.
My goodness. So they're talking about Moira's cancer.
Yeah, she's got cancer.
But like...
out of nowhere. Stage 4, out of nowhere. Was her mutant power keeping it at bay?
That's what I'm wondering, because it seems like...
she's got questions about it, but also immediately jumps to... she knows it's stage 4. It's cancer.
Yeah. I mean, she's looking at the chart, but it is an interesting question of how was it not affecting her before?
Right, right. Jane, who is who has breast cancer at some time, I'm not sure where she stands currently with that in her continuity, but when she became Thor, it was actually undoing the positive effects of her chemo. It seems like she's recovered from it.
She wants those Krakoan drugs, huh?
Yeah, she just left Krakoa, but now she wants it back, kind of. Interesting to see the accessibility and demand of petals, something that I thought had been more fast-tracked, but seemingly not.
The fact that there's a huge waiting list for them.
Yeah, and production. You have all these mutants. You don't think you can speed up production? You don't think you can expand what you got to do? You need us to terraform another planet?
At the same time as, yes, it's great that the mutant nation of Krakoa is producing drugs for these other countries, they're not going to spend all their resources on doing that to benefit other countries.
I guess. But that is also the hinge of your immunity.
Yeah, yeah, you're true. That's true. You're right.
And it is your biggest export besides the whiskey, you know, drugs and whiskey.
Well, Tempo's busy doing other things.
Yeah, we don't need Tempo to do that.
To speed it up?
Yeah.
You're going to put Tempest on it?
No, she's got other priorities.
Are there 5 things to do?
So this stuck out to me. So this conversation about going to them, and I assume she means Krakoans, which is suspicious.
Right.
Does Jane know that Moira was/is a mutant?
I feel like she has to.
Right. And then why is she not confused by the fact that Moira is alive?
And why does she not ask questions about Moira's arm?
Right, right. Nothing about that.
And
So Valkyrie as a character can see death, right? Like, so that's the power
of death,
essentially. Yeah. So it can see where death looms and where death is coming.
Oh, interesting.
That is a power of Valkyrie. And then a Valkyrie ushers in those who are dying into Hela and into Valhalla. And it makes me question just how much Jane knows here in this conversation.
Yeah. And the other thing that I was thinking a lot when going through this whole thing is the techno-organic nature of her now arm, is that causing the cancer? Do you think it could have sped it along?
That'd be a quick speed. And just doesn't seem like the reaction that would be created by a techno virus.
But it would be a crazy, I'm not saying this is real, but just imagine.
Karma.
If Doug was like, or Warlock was we're not going to kill her, but we're just going to give her cancer and then the cancer will kill her.
Oh man, I thought Doug could do no wrong.
No, I don't think that he would do that at all. It just popped into my brain, so I said it.
Yeah. I'll talk about the reveals on this last panel of this page.
Amazing,
but when you turn the page,
I was very frustrated.
You're like, no, I don't want to see that. I want to read to it.
Covered up the bottom corner, and I was like, no.
This Mystique. Nurse or orderly, whoever it is that's coming in, that is actually Mystique, ready to finish the job, what she started.
It's okay. I'll take care of her.
Epic spread of action. Both of them just throwing whatever they can find at each other. Syringes, beds.
And then, kaboom!
Busting through the door. Valkyrie saves the day. I love this full page image.
Her hair is so much longer when she's Valkyrie.
Yeah, that's part of her superpower.
Like, legit. Yes. Where did it grow from?
Her helmet.
No, that's ridiculous. Like, it's so long. It's in a long, tendrily braid. I don't know. How are you supposed to know that Valkyrie is Jane and Jane is Valkyrie? You're just supposed to be up on your comic stuff?
Yep.
Okay, well, I'm not, so I didn't know. I just thought.
There's some more interesting connections just with Valkyrie, resurrection, and death. And I was talking with Warlion on Instagram back and forth. Some tie-in issues that I have not yet read that kind of lead to a big overall mystery surrounding the connection to death between a handful of different Marvel characters.
That's cool. Well, a Valkyrie in its mythological or historical or whatever you want to call it meaning is basically when the Vikings would die in battle, the Valkyrie would come down and send out their like wolves, and it would collect all the souls of the fallen soldiers and take them to Valhalla.
Yeah.
So that's just interesting. I love how mythology plays into comics.
Oh yeah.
I think it's such an interesting outlet or story tool or a different way to tell those stories or connect them to the world through comics.
Yeah. Yeah.
And science fiction in general.
Just jump out the window. You'll be fine, which is suspect, but we'll see on the other side of a couple pages.
What's going on with Mystique's eye? There's just like a couple instances where her eyeball, and it's switching like which eyeball, it's like glowing. So when she's first going towards Moira, she's saying, listen to you calling yourself a human. And that whole instance, both her eyes are like really yellow. And then the next page, one eye has like a yellow flare streak coming out of it, almost kind of cable-esque. And then on the next panel underneath that, it's the opposite eye that's doing that.
That's a good question. It almost reminds me / connects to something a little bit later in the issue, the ocular implants.
And then when she says stay out of this Valkyrie, her one eyeball is so golden.
Yeah, and huge. And I mean, huge. Her eyes are normally yellow, but you're right with just the flaring of it.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's maybe just an artistic choice or if it means something. And Moira just jumps right out the window.
Yep. Krakoan tumor.
Back to Black Tom.
This is probably the part in my mind that makes both of these issues so intriguing, is just how well they set up a general idea, a story, you know, this one especially, picking right back up. Like, this is Inferno part 2,
yes.
You know, like part 5. picking up right after where we had Moira in her no place, but then adding in so many questions, so many mysteries. I want to know, yes, but obviously we're not going to find out what's going on here. I want to know what Black Tom is seeing. We get a little bit of an idea on the other side.
This is a classically amazing reveal. It's like you get to the bottom of the page and what's this all about?
Turn reveal.
Turn the page. You hear the sneaked. You get the slush. And then Black Tom.
Yeah, cut up.
And you, you know,
you see the claws.
Certainly looks like a Wolverine hand to me.
Right. And even as he's walking away, the two popped claw hands in the bottom corner.
Yeah.
Technogon.
Where did he come from?
How he comes out of this egg tumor thing with his snickety snick claws. And why did he just kill Black Tom?
Like, right. Why did he?
What are his motivations? This is the part bringing in even more X-Force.
Wait, though, does Krakoa know about this? If something is growing inside Krakoa, does Warlock know about this? If there's more techno-organic material on the island? Like, what is happening? All of these questions.
I don't know.
Who knows when we'll get answers?
Right. Is this a somehow connection between Krakoa and Warlock?
Did Krakoa and Warlock make this evil Wolverine baby?
But yeah, but how does Wolverine get there, right? So has to be a connection from something else other than just Krakoa and Warlock.
How many times has Wolverine been resurrected? Like, is there an egg of Wolverine's husk that somehow got, like, instead of being produced from Krakoa, then it was like in that little incubation and then it got sucked underneath Krakoa.
Maybe.
And then it turned, then the techno-organic energy like went into it. So it's actually not Wolverine. It's just a Wolverine husk.
But yeah, but I question that effect coming from just Warlock being Warlock.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know, this is not just Warlock. This is beyond Warlock. Yes, visually it looks like the arm that he has given to Moira, but there's more to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just going crazy speculation, just saying everything that pops into my head. That way, if any of it is true, it's on record that I said it.
Great. But dropping out of the sky, landing on a car, and just walking away, Moira with her somehow ability to be fine.
She's fine.
She's fine. And here's our X desk. It's all here. Everything Percy has been setting up. Glad to see Dolores is okay. But so many questions about that last panel.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Moira scanning as a mutant?
Yeah.
There also should be no record of her being a mutant. And if she no longer has her powers, how is she registering as one? They would never know that she's a mutant.
They would never know. What database are they referring to?
Right. Also, just girl fell out of a window. And ran away.
Just ran away.
Ran all the way to New Jersey.
She's got to go.
But think about it. She shows up in Newark, New Jersey, in her hospital clothes.
Yeah. Like,
just running across state lines.
Just running. She's got to get some products. She's got to do a classic bathroom makeover right now.
Pretty good at giving herself this radically different haircut. I guess, you know, you go through 1,000 years of life, you learn how to chop up your hair.
Listen, all I'm saying is from that particular image, she would have the shortest, most ugly bangs ever if she really cut her hair like that.
Yeah.
It would not look as cool as it looks when it's finished.
It looks pretty good. But
here's my question.
Yep. No, I know.
Why isn't she wearing a glove? Come on, girl.
At least pull the sleeve down. You're going to go to all this trouble to change your appearance and does nothing about the glowing yellow arm?
I'm just going
to
leave that. That's not identifiable in any way.
No, they don't have video of that.
And I love this woman next to her in the bathroom, the stank face that she gives her while she's looking at Moira's, like, got her shirt off. She's looking at the hair dye. She's contemplating. And this woman's just like, what is this girl doing? She's running away from something. She's hiding from something. She knows in her little old lady voice. She knows.
Yeah. And where she's running from is where we visit next.
The No Place.
James Fowlett sneaks into the No Place. See, that's why I need all these names so I can interchange them.
It's fantastic, babe. Keep it
going. Sniffs Moira's hat, tracking her. But for what purpose? Everyone is looking for Moira. Destiny told you, they'll all come after you. You got the two that we know about each having different motivations. I would assume Technogon has a different motivation.
Yeah, and he sniffs the hat. Does he take the hat with him, but he leaves the notebook? And why is the notebook? I feel like, oh, that notebook was important before. And now we see it. We see multiple notebooks. There's a notebook on the table in the no place. And then there's also a notebook leaning up against the hat. And then he takes the hat and he sniffs it. But what's in the notebook?
I don't know.
Give me the deets.
I don't know that there's any importance to the notebook, but you know, just knowing that she's in a room by herself for years on end and she's got to do something.
She's got a journal.
Yeah.
Why is she trying to be Cyclops? These red sunglasses.
Because he's cool.
She's the third Summers brother.
Yeah, calling it. Calling it here.
You heard it first, folks, on the Ex-Wife podcast. Moira in hiding is the third Summers brother.
Yeah. Tracked by the CIA in the mall. Like, pull the sleeve down. You're a dead giveaway.
Yeah, you're just flaunting it.
But then
at
again,
this point.
So are the CIA members with their earpieces and their.
Not trying to be discreet at all.
And then here we come into a new addition to the story, to the world, Epiphany and biotech synthesis. It's like Apple and Black Mirror had a baby.
Yeah, right. Real quick before we get there, I just want to say, why does this woman that she bumps into like sort of strangely resemble a horticulture lady? I just feel like she sort of looks like one of the horticulture gals, but maybe I just thought, oh, it's horticulture. And then I was like, nah, it's not.
I think you should limber up before you stretch like that. Make a reach like that.
That's really rude. I'm done with you. I'm out. You can record the rest of the episode by yourself. But yes, Epiphany is highly Black Mirror Apple. But also, it's not even Black Mirror Apple. It's just like Apple in like 5 years.
Yeah. Well, there's literally an episode of Black Mirror where you can like rewind your memories and replay in your...
But there's
there
already...
was one day, have you seen Black Mirror? You've seen like one episode, I think.
Yeah, I purposely don't watch it because it's too real.
And there was this one day I was sick and it was around all the hype and I Googled like, what are the best Black Mirror episodes? And I just watched four back to back to back.
No.
And it was the worst decision I've ever made.
And then you went into a deep depression.
Yes.
But there are already instances of people having chips in their arms and or... like to open their house to unlock things. There's a guy in another country. I remember my boss at work telling me about that. And also there's glasses somewhere somehow in production, and I think.
Google lenses, yeah.
Yeah, like all that stuff, it's coming.
Sure, but also you think about in this world, in a place where mutants have proclaimed their superiority and humans in many ways are trying to keep up with that. They're trying to make modifications and to be... You know, you think about the connection between Omega Sentinel and Orcus.
Right. And just when you look at this guy who's selling this thing, his eye looks exactly the same as Mystique's looks earlier.
Right. Especially on that Bonnet panel.
It's exactly the same. But hold up. You've been found.
Yeah. And all that Life 7 training kicking into high gear as she destroys these CIA agents.
She's just fighting.
Keanu Reeves looking wannabes. And then steals a motorcycle. You know, I thought Moira was cool when she was leveled up in Hoxpox, but this is next stage action adventure Moira.
I'm
still not.
No, me either. Me either. I understand.
She's a villain, but we need villains, so yes. I'm good.
I want her to burn and be found and destroyed, but I'm
in
here
a long time.
For the
I don't want her to die by the end of this event.
Oh, you don't.
I do not.
No.
I feel like we have had no Moira since Hoxpox and then with the last issues of Inferno and then that one issue of X-Men.
So you want Moira to be the new big bad looming in the distance.
I want her to do something. I want her to pay off some of that hype that's been built of, yes, sure, she's the mother of mutant kind at the beginning, right? You think about Mother Akaba in that life with Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And also just leading to the creation. She even says it to Mystique. The only reason you have Krakoa is
because
of me,
because
of my lives. And then now she's been cast out because of what she was up to. I want to see that pay off in some interesting way.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want her to go like
get
to
shot
just instantly
and,
go,
you know,
and it's done.
Right. You know, I don't want Mystique to actually catch her. I like this game that they're playing. I like the fact that it's a three-way race to find her for various reasons. Because the CIA, they don't want to kill her. They just want information.
It's Techno Wolverine.
Technogen, Mystique, and the CIA.
Technine. That's what I'm going to call him.
Yeah.
Technine. Just stop, okay? I just need to find one, and one will happen for me. I'm going to go through a lot of really crappy answers, and then finally the best one will come.
I workshopped mine for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, this is me workshopping mine live and in person.
There you go.
But anyway.
The details.
It's him. It's him. Mystique and the CIA. Those are the three? Yep. Okay. So go ahead. Sorry.
The details on the data page on the next page of the CEO of Epiphany Platforms makes me suspicious about how he fits into the larger story.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already got one Inferno connection with Moira. But what if there's a tie to Omega Sentinel and Orcus? You're talking about memory implants, something that Omega Sentinel did to Director Devo.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about artificial intelligence. Something that is alive and well in Nimrod and Omega Sentinel. Is this guy, this CEO, even really a human?
Yeah, and let's also talk about how does he know these things? Charity Ball on Alzheimer's research, 1 day from now. Space Shuttle Platform groundbreaking ceremony, 2 days from now. Epiphany 11.4 launch, 3 days from now. How is he recording things that don't...
This is like just his planner, right? Like these are future public appearances that he's going to make.
Oh, okay. These are his public appearances.
Yeah, I don't know. These are search queries, right? It's in a file being built on him, Arnab Shakladar.
Okay. I was just confused thinking, how does someone know that these things are going to happen days from now? But this is not looking good, these next few pages.
Last couple of pages tease for what's to come. Krakoa, the cradle. You want to talk mysteries? Well, this ending leaves us asking a lot of questions. Jean can sense Falvarine and is curious as to who or how he is who he is. Your face.
Just because the way you just throw them in willy-nilly is a different one of them. Falvarine.
Their connection that we started to discuss last week is on full display here. Jean and Logan.
Mm-hmm.
Able to notice his presence, this other version of Logan. And just what he says as he runs off. Even just like, what was he doing there? What's he trying to find there? There's so many questions.
I'm no one. I was never here. Yeah, where is he going? Did he just make an appearance in the cradle and then run away? Did he just happen to sneak past it?
Is he going after something? Is he looking for a Cerebro helmet?
Look at that close-up of that eyeball.
Was that Krakoan?
It's 3 lines long. You think I know what it says without taking some time?
Living in the past.
Living in the past.
Which I assume this is Krakoan for X lives, 10 lives,
assume,
right?
Yes.
So someone living in the past, it's Logan.
As we can assume, right.
What'd you think? Big thoughts.
I thought it was really great.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was nothing at all like I expected it to be.
Absolutely.
Which is amazing. And the fact that so much of it is centered around Moira is really exciting to see where that story is going to go. And also, if these two stories are interwoven, which clearly they are, right? Because here
Interlogan?
Stop it. Grar. But just to think, okay... So we have the Omega Red situation going on in lives, and then we have this Moira situation going on in deaths. Is there a connection between Omega Red and Moira in some way?
Yeah.
Or are they, because why would they be two separate, so separate storylines if they're supposed to be an interwoven event and we're already getting crossover action
right within
them?
I mean, compare this to House of X and Powers of 10.
Yeah.
Very different in those first issues. Mm-hmm. But with one connection point of the fact that House of X, the life of House of X, year of House of X, was one of the points that we see in those 4 stacked images of Xavier, most of them, and then the librarian at the end.
Mm. Yeah, it's just very...
So they're starting as far away as they can with some connections here to, yes, Inferno, and then to number one of Lives. And then they're just going to get even more intertwined and reveal as we go.
It's just mind-boggling to try to wrap your head around what exactly the connection is or how does it work. And this all this information that you're getting from both, and
yeah,
there's so many unanswered questions, which is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I loved this.
I thought this was really wonderfully paced.
Yeah,
really beautifully drawn, colored, inked, all the things.
Yeah, the colors pop.
Yeah, it's just a really beautiful issue. The layout is really great. The flow is fantastic. We get a little bit of Moira, a little bit of Black Tom. Poor Black Tom.
A lot of Moira, seemingly. Yeah. You know, this is probably some of the most, other than Inferno and House of X and Powers of Ten, this is the most she's been in a comic the entire Krakoan era.
Right. And you just, you know.
And I was not expecting that much. When we saw the previews, I was like, oh, cool. We're getting a little bit of nugget. Moira's going to take us to the next piece. No, Moira seems essential to this story.
Right.
The fact that Technogen is chasing after her. Or trying to hunt her.
Trying to find her. And I think it's interesting because that's what I'm talking about with the connection, right? Wolverine diving into the past is trying to hunt Omega Red, in a sense. But future Wolverine, because I think he has to be from the future.
He's
trying to hunt Moira. And why? Why does he want Moira if she's not a mutant anymore? You know, what did she do from this point on to make this happen?
Well, I mean, even if she's not a mutant, she still has the knowledge of her 10 lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the Phalanx consume and bring in knowledge.
Yeah.
So if they were to capture and digitize her intelligence, they would have everything that she knows. So they would essentially, what they tried to do in Life 6, where the librarian is kind of laughing to himself, that you're running from this, you're doing all these blood transfusions to stay alive just so you can whisper and listen, and now we're going to win.
The other thing that's interesting is, does that mean that in the future, in some future, whether it's a 10A or 10B lifeline future, does the Phalanx absorb the mutants? Like, do they become part of the Phalanx? And that's where this version of Wolverine comes from.
Potentially,
because
they
like send him back out.
Well, if you think about it, that looked as though what we were always building to, right? The idea of the Phalanx, the idea of the creating this, the Kree, the high intelligence, supreme intelligence type structure, where you have the greatest minds all digitized. That's essentially Cerebro and what that's doing with the entire culture of mutant society. Right. So then you incorporate that into something bigger, into a world mind, into a Titan, you know, into these other concepts that were introduced in Powers of Ten. How does that then play against them in either the future of this timeline, or I want to see, and even when Percy hinted towards this, the fact that we're going in the future, the fact that we're going to the stuff that we saw in Powers of Ten. That's why I feel like, is this a version of something that was able to learn from what Moira had done or what the mutants had done?
It's so crazy. And where does Omega Sentinel fit into all this? Karima, where are you at?
I don't know if we'll see her. I honestly don't think that she'll be in this. I think
your feelings have changed drastically from last week.
What?
Last week you were like, We're going to get in our Patreon exclusive, where we were talking specifically about how the timelines all break down and our predictions for death. You were like, we're going to get a Moira issue and we're going to get an Omega Sentinel issue. And
oh, yeah. Well, that was just, you know, trying to make predictions.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying you now saying to me, oh, we're not going
to
get that. That was surprising.
The only thing that made me think about Omega was the Epiphany platforms and just the technology infusing, and even just Technogen and how he's... So there's elements that are connected to it, but just seeing Nimrod and Omega on the cover of an upcoming X-Men issue.
Yes.
And knowing that they are very much so of this timeline and of this track and with their very specific purpose, and all the stuff that has now been introduced through these two issue ones, I feel like we've got more than enough to carry us through and reveal as we go.
Right. And I'm just saying, it's crazy how you can have so much thought about something and then in one issue just completely change everything. It's like what we were talking about, you know, like we have all our predictions and we could be completely wrong. And just the sheer fact that this issue is nothing what I expected it to be.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what to expect. I was expecting something more similar to lives.
Yeah, and which this is cool that it's completely different.
It has its own identity, which is great. In the same way that House of X and Powers of 10 had very separate identities, but intertwined in various ways.
Yes. And the other thing that I think is interesting is lives feels very literal to the title.
Yes.
Right? It's all these different lives that Logan jumps into in order to save Charles, is what it seems to be at this moment. And then deaths. Oh, it says deaths of Wolverine, but is it?
Is it him dying or is it him killing?
Right. Is it the deaths that he causes?
Right. Yeah. Is it this guy?
Is he the executioner Wolverine?
Right. The Omega Wolverine. And is what kind of dissecting that? Oh, we could go on and on and on.
Forever and always. And we will.
I do have some questions for you.
Okay.
Are you interested in Moira's story here?
Yes.
And do you feel any sympathy at all for her?
No.
Very flat answers, very to the point.
I mean, I'm interested. I want to see where it goes. I think it makes for great storytelling. She seems to be a great villain or a great counterpoint to the other characters in the story.
Yeah, and just Krakoa in general.
It's very compelling, but I don't feel sorry for her. I have no sympathy. None.
Good. You shouldn't. But I don't want, like I said earlier, I don't want her to go away right away.
No.
I feel like she's carrying a lot of intrigue with her into this story.
I really like where this is going.
Yeah. CIA wants me in a cell. Mutants want me in a grave. What does Technogon want?
Dead.
Dead.
He wants you dead.
See, I don't know. I don't think so. Because that would.
He wants something from her?
I feel like he wants something that's. If you're going to have three separate parties that are chasing after her and that Destiny saw, yes, they will come after you. You know, they potentially even saw some of this happening.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he is going to have a different motivation for chasing after her. I think it might be information, which is similar to the CIA, but potentially in a different way. I don't know. I don't think he wants her dead.
It's just interesting, this going back to the data page where Destiny's telling the story about death. The end of it says, "Fate will always find you. Fate will find Moira. Fate must find her if we are to survive. So be swift, my love, and be death." So.
Mystique, right?
Right. She's talking to Mystique.
Right.
But who is Fate? Is Mystique the Fate? Is the CIA the Fate?
I think that's like capital F Fate. Like not a singular person, but more just what is destined to come.
But what is it, Destiny? What is it?
There is no the Destiny.
Well, then we can get on a whole debate between the difference between Fate and Destiny.
How did Mystique find Moira? Or the CIA, for that matter? Because she, girl, ran to New Jersey. How was the CIA able to track her? How was Mystique able to find her in the hospital?
Mystique probably found her because Mystique was set up some kind of plants of people looking for her, or was monitoring, you know, if she went into a hospital, or was just Mystique is Mystique. She's everywhere. She found her because she's Mystique.
Yeah, she's everywhere, but she's just one person.
But I don't think she's working alone. Maybe she had insight from Destiny. Maybe Destiny was like, I see Moira in a hospital.
Yeah.
Or something. But then the CIA, well, they kind of showed you that they found her through the cameras, right? So they probably used street cams and things like that to continue to track her as she's running around with her
yellow
techno-organic arm.
You fool.
Flying around.
Which is that, like, is there going to be a revealed motivation as to why they gave her
There's got to be.
But she even calls out in Inferno 4, what is this, so you can follow me?
Right.
Yeah. Just figured you might want another arm. Are you excited to see the X-Desk connection here?
I'm excited to see the X-Desk back up in it, because that feels like a murky relationship. And it's never really clear whose side they're on.
Right.
So I think it's an interesting angle, and is definitely going to throw a wrench in the plans of, even if it was just one other person or one other entity looking for Moira, they're going to throw a wrench in that. So the fact that there's two others and it's unclear, even with Wolverine, future Wolverine, whatever you want to call him, what side he's on, you know? So there's this like, who's fighting for who, who's going to help who, who's going to get in each other's way, what's going to happen, who's going to get in the crossfires of all of this, was there going to be any collateral damage, like what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I think adding all of that in also is continuing what you were saying earlier of tying in things from Wolverine and tying in things from X-Force that we've been wanting tied up, we've been wanting more information from. So hopefully we just get more from them.
I don't want the X-Des tied up. I do want them further, and I do love to see their connection here. There are some things that I do want tied up just because there are a lot of plots running concurrently in X-Force.
Oh, so I don't mean like tied up as in like wrapped up. I mean tied up as in like caught up in it.
Gotcha. Let's talk about Epiphany Platforms, this company.
Yes.
And I do love the eye connection that you're calling out, and maybe that has something to do, like, does Mystique have one of these ocular implants?
And that's how she found her, because she could see, because there's maybe like all the ocular implants are connected on a network.
Yeah. Ooh.
They can get information from other people with the ocular implants.
Yeah. That would be cool. And just any connections that has to, I just feel like there's a lot more. That is the big new thing other than Technogen.
Mm-hmm.
The big new thing introduced right here. And so casually too, in a page and a half.
Yeah.
We kind of already talked about this, but just who is this Techno Wolverine?
Don't know, man.
This is really great. We do have, we're going to talk about the
Infinity comic that goes along with it.
Which I feel maybe goes along a little bit less right now.
With this
specifically, but still continues on its intention of giving us kind of a connection point to the chronological life of Wolverine. Right. So It is called Life of Wolverine. And we literally go, so we were reading last week's Infinity comic, and it spurred my desire to reread the entire Origin series, which you kind of get the Cliff Notes version here, where you had it at the end. James Howlett is popping up the claws for the first time, the killing of his papa, and then now you really just get the full high level going off adopting the name Logan, which is the family of Dog and the guy that killed his dad.
I feel like this Infinity comic was like, hey, did you read Origins? Right. No, you didn't? Okay, let me give you a quick...
Let me give you a Cliff Notes. And also, hey, it's on Marvel Unlimited if you want to check it out. Yeah. And you're already reading this. So there needs to be like a works cited page at the end of this. It's like, hey, yeah. Because we end Origin and we pick up with Origin 2. Which is a series that I had never read. Ooh. So I read Origin again last weekend after recording our episodes, binged it because I really loved that when it came out. I've never read Origin 2. Interesting connection between the two. We have Adam Kubert on covers here.
Oh-ho.
We had Andy Kubert in Origin 1, Adam Kubert on Origin 2, Frank Martin doing the colors.
It's all coming together.
But the details of it, the capture of this wild man, the marvel of the modern age, the clawed man of the woods, and the inclusion of Nathaniel Essex, the man secretly known as Mr. Sinister, his experiments begin on Wolverine.
Yeah.
Will become a hallmark of his life. And I just feel like this is taking the entirety of his life and trying to put it in more digestible chunks. Mm-hmm. Hey, you don't know Wolverine? Read this first. If you want more of a chronological order.
I feel like it could potentially be giving us context to the events that we're going to dip into in Lives.
Right.
So that, because you're only going to see little snippets of those things in Lives because he has a mission to accomplish within that time. So then this is saying, well, this is also happening in that time. This was the original timeline of that time before he came back and mucked it all up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And like we talk about in our Patreon exclusive edition, before he creates these potential branches, other timelines by going back and changing actions.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big questions that I had brought up, just thinking about after 10 Lives, issue one, how that interaction changes the Xaviers.
Right.
And what that does to that future and how that becomes its own life. Because if you had that happen, you're not just going to live your life the way you lived it.
Right. And now you know this guy exists.
Right.
It's crazy. It's also crazy.
I'm gonna read Origin 2 now. This weekend.
Endless possibilities.
I have so many comics I want to read. I've been reading a lot of indie comics too. I finally just read volume 4 of Something is Killing the Children.
Yes, I want to read that. Well, that was a great issue.
Great issue.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Very brain jumbling.
Yeah.
But in the best ways.
Took it to another level for where I was expecting this to be.
Yes.
It is not, even in issue 1 of Lives, I mm-hmm. was like, this is not just a Wolverine comic.
No.
This was hardly a Wolverine comic.
Right. He wasn't even listed as one of the key players.
Right. He was barely in it. We just saw his claws most of the time.
Yeah.
That was a different guy.
That's not even Wolverine.
That's Technogen. That's great. James Fowlett.
Well, on that note, until next time.
Fowlogan.
Oh, my goodness.
Fowlverine.
You just interrupted me?
Wolverine.
Are you done? You got any more?
Charles!
Until next time, old friend.
Technogen!
Thanks so much for joining us today on the X-Wife Podcast. Be sure to leave us a review and tell your friends.
The X-Wife Podcast is produced in Providence, Rhode Island by Alicia and Justin. Our music is by Quan.